I just want to share with you something and create an appetite for the presence of God. Amen. I didn't hear that. Amen. Amen. Let me create that appetite. Piano, if you're there, please. I want to create that appetite for the presence of God. Yes. And when I'm saying the appetite for the presence of God, you know, as we go in the beginning, let me ask you a question. How Eden began. And Eden began with the glory of God, with the presence of God. How many you agree with that? So Eden started it with the presence of God. So when we go to the scriptures, God works in cycles. I want you to lift your hands and say cycles. In our personal life and also as a ministry and as a church, in God, you see cycles. At the beginning of a cycle and the end of the cycle. The end time cycle of God. God has been speaking to me about the end time cycle of God, which he said, I begin with the glory and I will finish with the glory. Can I hear an amen from you? In other words, but for you to understand what you're saying, well, what's the glory? And many of you understand the word glory, the word presence, and you know that. But let me tell you this. Every time you see in the scripture that God repeats, that is a principle, eternal principle, but also is not only eternal principle, but also is a cycle. And you will see from the beginning, started with the glory, and will end with the glory. Let me ask you, what kind of church Jesus is coming back for? Anointed church, faith church, or what kind of church? Glorious church. What does it mean to be a glorious church? What does that mean? How can you imagine a glorious church? So if we see the beginning and the end, so, and then we go to the next question. If God start working in cycles, the thing is, how many of you have seen the thing, all things have been shaken? Yes. Economy, I mean, even nature, the weather pattern have changed completely. You go to certain countries and they've been hot for many years or all the life, and now you see the change, and now the weather pattern have changed. And then you say, well, why is that? The economy has changed. Many things have been shaken because Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 and 9 says God will shake in all things. And there's some signs. If you go to the book of Haggai chapter 2, and you will see what is going to happen. And I want you to touch your neighbor next to you and tell him, the former glory and the latter glory. I didn't hear you like you really believe it. You just had lunch, so say with me, the former glory. Say it again. And the latter glory. So look at the book of Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Can we read it together if you brought your Bible? I know you came to eat, but you know, just in case, bring your Bible. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, and is a little while, that I will shaking the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of the nations shall come, and I will fill the house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 8, silver and gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. Let's read it together.
The glory of this latter temple shall be greater
than the former. Tell me again what kind of the two glories that you see in this verse. Say it. Come on. The former and the latter. Say it again.
The former
and the latter. What do you see? And the former glory. You see the opening of the Red Sea. you see the transfer of wealth. In one day, the people of Israel were rich. In one day. You don't sound so excited. In one day, what do we see in the former? You see, I can call many, many miracles that took place under the former. My question is, what the latter look like? So this is the end of that glory coming into end. And that glory will fill. God promised. I want you to go to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. I feel the presence of God. I've been speaking to you. I can see there's hungry people. This room is filled with hungry people. You know, I can tell you, I go to some places and I can see some people that just say, what is he going to say? You know, but I can see you guys, you pulling. There's hungry. There's a dimension that maybe you have not experienced, or maybe you do. But let me share this dimension that, and how was my experience and how I enter in this dimension called glory. So, can you go to Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water. Woo! So how God started it with the glory. And now will end. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge. Why knowledge? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 5. Why the knowledge of the glory? Why it doesn't say the glory of God? In another book, in another verse, you will find, in another chapter, you will find that it says, and the glory of God will fill the earth. It's filled with the earth. The glory of God, the earth is filled with the glory of God. So it's there, but I want you to know why the knowledge. Say with me, knowledge. Knowledge. Say it again.
Knowledge.
Why knowledge? Do you have Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5?
Yes.
Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3, go.
The glory of the Lord shall be.
Oh my God. The glory of the Lord. What happened? What happened? Say it again.
The glory of the Lord
shall be revealed. Say with me, shall be revealed.
Shall be revealed.
Meaning is not known.
Right.
Meaning you can study the glory. You don't go to a Bible school to study the glory. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And why knowledge? Because knowledge is the prerequisite for manifestation. For the glory to manifest on the earth, we must bring knowledge first. And not a natural knowledge, but revelation knowledge. Fresh knowledge from heaven. So if you want your ministry and your life to be filled with that kind of glory, Shekinah, Kabbat of God, we must have fresh revelation knowledge. Can I hear an amen? And somebody say, how can I get that? Well, you know, revelation is given by God. I want you to write it down. Revelation is given by God by the will of God and in the time of God. There's some things that you don't supposed to know because it's not the time for you to know. And there's some things that you must know. And one of the knowledge that God wants you to know is the revelation of His glory. So very few men on the earth today, I can tell you this, very few men I know, they're bringing fresh revelation of the glory of God. Because you cannot study it. You cannot go in the dictionary. It's something that the Holy Spirit must be revealed. If it's revealed, it's because it's not known. How does it work? What is the glory of God? How can we enter in it? What kind of dimension is it? How can, there's so many things about the glory. In one of my books on the glory, you will find many things on it. So, but I give you this introduction to tell you, all things are being shaken. Say with me, all things are being shaken. Nature, the banking system, religious system. So any way you see it, everything is being shaken. Now, let's go back into the condition of the church. What's the condition of the church right now? Can I tell you, the majority of the churches that I know, and I've been in many countries, the majority of the churches that I know, they don't know what the glory of God is. They practice the absence of it. Not the bringing into their life, but they have the Ichabod, the presence left so long, they're just doing a ritual, a formula, a method, but not the presence. I wish I can hear an amen there. So what are you saying, Apostle? What I'm saying is, now we understand, what's the condition of the church right now? Can I tell you? The condition of the church, they don't know what the glory is. So God must raise more men and women to bring that revelation knowledge of his glory, to be filled the earth. Because I want you to understand this. How many of you have heard, have you read the scriptures in Luke 24:49? Jesus said, I will endued, you will be endued with power. The word endued means to be clothed upon with power. But the other knowledge, the other meaning of the word is to be endued with knowledge. When you receive Acts 1:8, you receive knowledge to operate the power.
Yes, sir.
You didn't
yes,
get it. Sir. In other words, what I'm saying is, God would not allow it for me to preach dictionaries, natural, falling knowledge, and release his power.
Right.
He would not allow it.
Yes.
Today, we want to produce power, miracles, with natural knowledge. And I'm not knocking down knowledge, natural knowledge. I believe I'm an educated person. So I'm not saying that. We need education for now, for this world to work and whatever we need to do. But I'm saying supernatural knowledge. A knowledge given by the Spirit to your spirit where something is revealed to us. The moment I start preaching revelation, I tell the people, get my book and preach it. If nothing happened, I give you your money back. Why are you so sure? Because what I write is revelation knowledge. And the prerequisite to manifest power is revelation knowledge. Because God confirmed his revelation knowledge. Can I hear an amen? God doesn't... Listen, this is powerful. This is powerful. The power of God is not based on personality. The power of God is based on truth. If you preach truth, if you preach truth revealed by the Spirit, you got power. And today we look for manifestations, but we don't have knowledge. That's the reason you see many pastors, they stagnated. Because you can't take anybody beyond the level of revelation that you have. If you stagnated in knowledge, you can't go any further. Because knowledge is what makes the difference. Knowledge is what draws the line between your generation and the next generation. Can I hear an amen? So the glory shall be revealed. Say it with me. Say it, come on. The glory shall be revealed. In other words, God is raising men and women, bringing this fresh revelation. And I'm not saying revelation is out of the scripture. It's in the scripture.
Yes.
It's here. But the Holy Spirit has to take it out from here and give it to you. And then you preach it, you talk about it, and then the presence will come, the manifestation will come, and we will see the earth. God is finished this cycle. God is ending the cycle. Started with the glory, and we'll finish with the glory of God. Are you want to be one of those people that a carrier of the presence of God? Now, for those that don't understand the term, the majority of you understand, what is the glory of God? Just write it down just a little bit. The glory of God is the manifested presence of God. That's one of the meanings. It's not the only meaning. If I go from the revelation perspective, there's so many things about the glory. But the glory of God is, in very simple terms, it's just this. It's the visible manifestation of the presence of God. But let me tell you something else. The glory of God is God Himself in manifestation. The presence of God, the glory of God, is God in all His attributes manifesting in a precise moment. Okay, so we understand the glory. So it's the presence. It's the visible, tangible presence. So somebody said, do I have to feel it? Of course, because it's tangible. I've been in services where the fire of the presence fell and people got born, you know, red. They got the fire because something happened. It's physical. You feel it. I can feel it. Do you feel the wind? Huh?
Yes.
Do you see it? No. Do I have to see it? No. I feel it. Can I hear an amen? So we understand the glory of God is God Himself in manifestation. Is God in all His attributes? Is God doing His own works without me and without you? But let me tell you, before I want to get you into this end time cycle, how did I get into the glory of God? How did I won't say discover, because discover is natural. How the glory was revealed to me. And this is the experience that I had, that I want you to create that appetite in you, to you to enter in that dimension. There is another dimension that you've never been in. You didn't get it. There's another dimension that you've never been in. There's another dimension beyond human imagination. There's another dimension that we never seen and heard and experienced. That's the dimension of the glory of God. So I started ministry many years ago. I was called by God. And then He said, I called you to bring my supernatural power to this generation. I've been doing it for 25 years. That has been my call. That's my assignment. I have trained and taught thousands of people, being trained to equip to do what I do. And that's what they do. Thousands. So this is my assignment. But there was a moment in my ministry that I noticed something. I got to a certain level and I couldn't move from there. I always saw the same miracles. Actually, healings. More than miracles, they were healings. I always saw certain things. And I said, God, there has to be something beyond this. And God sometimes, I don't know if it happened to you, God created spiritual frustration. Maybe that I don't talk to the right people today. God is creating something in you saying, there's something beyond what I have seen, what I experienced. There's something. What did I came here for? To get an appetite. There's another dimension that you never seen. It's beyond limits. There's another dimension that is beyond limits, beyond imagination. But listen to this. So I say, God, I'm frustrated. There's something I'm seeing a lot of things. I'm seeing blind see. I'm seeing deaf hears. I'm seeing the dead raise. I'm seeing a lot of miracles. And I said, God, there's something else. And that's the reason God brought up my dear, precious friend, Apostle Rainey McLean. He's my best friend. And I had books written on faith. I had book written on the anointing. And even I got tapes and teachings on the glory. So he said, there are three dimensions of the supernatural. And then I said, that's what it is. And the Lord started teaching me what faith is, what the anointing is, and what the glory is. So when I got the revelation of the three dimensions of the supernatural, and I said, God, why you didn't teach me? Somebody else. And the Lord said, that's why we are a body. God, somebody else has the revelation. Can I tell you something? If God gives you everything, you don't need anybody. You become so independent and so prideful. I got everything. I don't need anybody. No, I need you. You need me. It doesn't matter the color of my skin. It doesn't matter your gender. We all need one another. It doesn't matter how big your church is. It doesn't matter how big our ministry is. It's not about ministry. I know big ministry did dead and dry. I wish I can hear an amen. Not in England. I'm saying in America. In England, everybody is in the glory. Can I hear an amen, people? The ministry, the big ministry, but there's nothing on. Nothing is happening. So when the Lord said to me, he brought Apostle Rini, and then we connected, and I said, and the Lord said, I said, God, tell me how this works. And then he said, the three dimensions of the supernatural, faith. Say with me, faith.
Faith.
Say it again.
Faith.
What is faith? Do every believer has faith? Huh? Romans 12:3. We all have a measure. Say with me, measure.
Measure.
Say it again.
Measure.
We all have a measure. Say with me, measure.
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 I want to mention something very powerful. Say with me, measure.
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 Means is not fullness.
Right.
Measure. Do you have what?
Measure.
Say it again.
Measure.
Okay. The faith is the avenue of God to the seen world. God manifests in this natural dimension through faith. When God works, when you work your faith, is God working through you? Did I lose you? Did I lose you? In other words, it's God working through you. God gave you a measure, and God said, you work it, and I'm with you.
Yes.
Through you. I'm working through you.
Yes.
But we work it.
Right.
Number two. So it's God's avenue to the seen dimension. What is faith? Faith is a supernatural walk. Today, faith has been replaced by optimism. That's why nothing supernatural happens. Today, faith has been replaced by reason. Since when reason has the last word? Science has not the last word. It's God. So since when the Bible says, first you understand it and then you act on faith. Where do you read that? Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand. First believe and then you understand. You didn't hear me. By faith we understand. In other words, we first believe and then we understand. There's some crazy miracles that I've seen God done. And I don't understand. But when I did it, I understood it. Are you willing to step out of the boat? I didn't hear you. Are you willing to step out of the boat? In other words, God has given you faith. Faith is a movement. Faith is not stagnated. Oh, I got faith. I got a measure. What are you believing now? I got 200 members. What, are you believing for 400?
Right.
I got 3,000 members. Are you believing for 5,000?
Yes.
There's a lot, millions in London to get saved. So activate your faith. Faith is a movement. It's always moving. Say with me, it's always moving. So why? Romans 1 verse 17 is from faith to faith. From faith to faith. If there's no movement in your faith, you have optimism. You have hope. People have hope. Hope doesn't do miracles. It's faith who does miracles. Faith is the prerequisite. I mean hope. We start hoping. By hoping, I hope I get saved. Hope I get healed. Nothing will happen until you step out in faith. So that I can be there three hours. So, but let me go. Say with me, faith.
Faith.
I didn't hear you.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
So touch your neighbor and tell him, are you moving?
Moving.
No. Tell him. Tell him, are you moving?
Moving?
You know, God is attracted to movement, right?
Yes.
I said, God is attracted to movement. Anything that is stagnated, the Holy Spirit stay away from. In the beginning, the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God is always moving. So anything, God, you see anybody moving? The Holy Spirit said, let me go there. I don't want to go where everything is dead. Not in London. Everybody's here is moving. Touch your neighbor and tell him, I'm moving. So the first dimension of the supernatural is faith. Second dimension of the supernatural is the anointing. Say with me, the anointing. Write it down, the anointing. Okay, say it again. Okay, the anointing. What is the anointing? In a very simple way to explain it, the anointing is the power of God to do what he called you to do. In a very simple way. In other words, Luke 4:18, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me for... Just one amen. The rest of the people didn't hear me. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me for... Or another translation says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to... There's a purpose why God anointed you. In other words, we anointed to do something. We were not anointing to do nothing. Is anointed to do something. Oh, pastor, I'm anointed to do a prophet. Are you releasing God's voice to the people? So if you're anointed to something, is the anointing then is to work. I'm anointed, but I'm resting. No, that's not, you're not anointing. So the anointing is the power of God. Listen, it's the power of God to do the purpose and call of God in your life. We are anointed. What anointing means? Empower to do something. Empower to destiny. Empower to purpose. Can you hear an amen from you? So now you understand the anointing. So now, many of us, we're so in love of that anointing that we think we're going to take it to heaven. In heaven, there's no anointing. Mentals, the mentals, they're not going to heaven. You don't need anointing in heaven. The Spirit of God is upon me to heal the sick, to broken heart. In heaven, there's no broken heart. There's no healed sick. There's no people to say this. Say amen. In heaven, there's no sick people. There's no depressed people. Why? The anointing is for the earth. If you want to do something, do it now. If you're anointed to do something, do it now. Jump in faith. Get out of the boat and step out. This is the moment. Jesus is coming soon. The cycle is coming into the end, and we must do something. Touch your neighbor, tell them, let's do something. I'm anointed. For what? There's a purpose. So he said, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted. I'm anointed. So we don't need the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is for the earth, not for heaven. Let me tell you something else. The anointing, another definition of the anointing, write it down. The anointing is one of the aspects of the power of God. What do you mean aspects? There are many names for the power of God. For example, in the area of law, the power of God is called authority. In the area, remember, that's my assignment to explain the power. In the area of prosperity, finances, it's called wealth. And God will give you power to do wealth. And the Hebrew says God will give you wealth to do wealth.
Right. Wow.
So in the area of finances, the power of God is called finances. And we think the power of God is only to heal the sick. In the area, listen to me. In the area of miracles, the power of God is called faith. In the area of spiritual warfare, the power of God is called might. Ephesians 6:10. Strengthen in the might, in the might of God. Have you seen in television how China displays its armament and tanks, and they say that was the might of China. It's about time that you show the might of God. Show the might, the power of God in the area of spiritual warfare. Of course, we don't believe in deliverance or spiritual warfare today. We do counseling and we do psychiatry and psychology, and we don't do that anymore. So spiritual warfare, in the area of spiritual warfare, the power of God is called might. Say with me, might. Say it again.
Might.
In the area, write it down. In the area of the territorial power. That's another book, Bob. And what I call territorial power is called dominion. That's what God gave men in the beginning. God gave Adam dominion. And what is dominion? Listen, dominion is the highest spiritual power, because you literally take dominion of a territory. Thank you for the amen. The rest of the people, let me go on this here. In other words, when God gives you dominion, you have taken a territory. So that's the highest. That, you know why you must have your own place for your church? Because that's a place of dominion. That's why you need to have your own real estate. That's the place of you dominate. When God, and how can I get dominion, Pastor? Well, you must be assigned in the right place. Two, you must be sent. If you're not sent, you are thrown. And when you're thrown, you're not going to produce fruit. And when you're thrown, the devil knows it. Let me continue. You don't sound so excited. It's just the pastor right here. Okay. So, say with me. Lift your hands and say, power. Say it again.
Power.
Say it again. So, what's the name? What are the one of the aspects of in the spiritual warfare? What's the name of it?
Might.
How can we apply it in the daily life? Oh, that's another one. Next time when I come, I explain to you. But that's not my point. My point is, in the area of ministry, the power call is called anointing. In the area of ministry, the power of God is called what? Anointing. And what is the anointing for? To do the work of why? In other words, it's the power of God, but it's one of the aspects. And do you work with it, or what do? We work with it, the anointing. Now, I understood faith. I understood the anointing. And I said, God, and the Lord said to me, I want you to do the transition from the anointing to the glory. And I said, and what is the glory? God said to me, when my anointing is working through you, is both man and God coming together and working together? Is God through you? When the glory of God is the sovereignty of God. I don't think you comprehend it. The sovereignty of God. Say it with me. The sovereignty of God. What is the sovereignty of God? Listen to me. The sovereignty of God is God himself in manifestation and doing whatever he wants, when he wants it, with whoever he wants it. So the glory is not the anointing and it's not faith. The glory is the manifested presence of God himself without you and without me. Can you put your hands together? Let me explain to you. She has a measure of faith. I saw a lot of miracles with my measure of faith. Of course, I'm saying the measure of faith of God in me. Because the originator of faith is God. No, we don't have faith in ourselves. It came from God. So when I believe the measure, I believe with the measure. Now God comes, and then he said, there's another higher dimension, son. And I said, which one? The anointing? He goes, no. Is my glory, which is me doing my own works. Do you have an appetite already for the glory? I didn't hear you. Do you have an appetite for the glory? So God said to me, there's a glory of God, which is God in manifestation. Let's bring it into practicality. Because I can be deep over here and nothing. No, let me give you some practical stuff. I'm very practical. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simple, it's powerful, and practical.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
I wish I can hear an amen.
Amen.
Say with me, simple, practical, and powerful. Let me give you an example, an instance. For example, I was so frustrated because I said, I want to see something different. There's a dimension that I don't know. And the Lord said, you must do the transition from the anointing. In other words, from me working through you and through your faith and you stepping out, bringing my presence, worshiping me, bringing the people into my presence, and let me watch me doing my thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? In other words, what's the reason I'm here? To create in you, there's a dimension that you never seen before. You never experienced before. So I say, God, okay, awesome. And then he said, just in my presence, you rest. And I will tell you exactly, I am the one leading. My sovereignty is working. I'm saying jump. I'm saying sleep. I'm saying lift your hands. I'm saying this. But he said, I am initiating everything. But today, we are so addicted to the hand of a person. We don't want to go directly into the Shekinah. My job is to bring you into the presence. What do we use faith for? We use faith to bring you to enter in the presence. Because before the presence, before you enter in that presence, you're going to have a fight. You're going to have a spiritual warfare. Your mind, your body, the enemy is attacking you. So when you come to worship, you struggle. But once you enter in the presence, you say, oh my God, I feel rest. Oh my God, I was tired and I'm fine now. Oh, something happened. I worship. I feel God. My God, his presence is loving me. I feel it. And then you start feeling that presence. But listen to this. Once that you in the presence, you don't have any fight. The fight was before. That's why praise and worship leaders, we struggle. They struggle to bring the people in because the people are chewing gum. And of course, today, entertainment has replaced worship. And it's harder for the people to get him into the presence. Are you here today? So what is my job? To bring the people. What is the job as a pastor? Bring the people into the presence. Once the presence falls, let God do the work. For example, I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you the practical side. When I enter in this dimension, I just count 2-3 people in the world. They were walking in that dimension of the glory of God. So I didn't have a point of reference. Who can I ask? One time, I was teaching on the glory, and the cloud, physical cloud, came into the building. The cloud came into the building. It's one of my daughter's churches. And for 2 hours nonstop, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But listen. And what I was doing, just worshiping God. I wasn't touching anybody. I wasn't declaring. It was God. The other people said, I can hear. I can do the wheelchair. Oh my God, I can walk. Oh my God, my heart. And then a second wave came. And the wave was a wave of deliverance. People could start getting delivered. I didn't rebuke the devils. you do it under the anointing. And something happened. The most incredible miracles, especially creative miracles. Women that didn't have breasts grew back. There was a woman, like it happened in Holland. I was preaching over there, and God created. They removed her womb 20 years ago. And one of the service, she said, "I'm filled, I'm filled." I said, "Filled of what?" She goes, "They removed my womb, and now I feel filled." God created back the womb. So, but listen, I didn't, most of those kind of services, I didn't lay hands on people. I didn't talk. Sometimes, yes, he tell me to do something, but he taking the initiative. But in church today, we're so afraid to release God to be God. Let me go on this table because this table don't help me. In other words, we're so afraid. Oh my God, what is going to happen? Because we want control. When God is in control, anything can happen. And what dimension is that? That's the dimension of the glory. The presence of God is so strong. And the most impressive miracles you can ever imagine is something crazy. Crazy. There was a man that he had polio when he was 8 years old. In one of the services, the presence fell. It was such a thick presence. It was such a thick presence. And suddenly this man came to criticize me because he was against the supernatural. And then he was writing everything down. See, this is not biblical. This is not biblical. Not in London. Everybody received me here and everybody's nice. But I'm saying this is not biblical. And then he had polio. And one of his legs, he didn't have flesh and he didn't have tissues. The whole leg, because the polio ate it. He only had skin and bone. And his leg was like three fingers thick of my hand. When the glory fell, I didn't pray for him. I can't take credit. Oh, yeah, the Lord used me. Praise Jesus. And suddenly that man ran into the altar. And then he's jumping. And I say, "What happened?" He goes, "It's filled." He said, God, the presence came and he started getting filled to the knee. And then he said, "God, please finish it, finish it, finish it. I believe now. I'm not going to criticize Apostle. Please, 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 please." And then he said, "I felt my pants slow, like going like this." And then God did the miracle. It came out in one of the largest newspapers in Los Angeles. That's crazy. Let me tell you. Why? Who was it? It wasn't God through me. It was God himself. Is anybody hungry for that dimension of the glory of God? Are you hungry for that kind of miracle? Are you hungry for the former and the latter? What's the latter? The latter is both together. You didn't get it, I just said. The latter glory is both coming together. What you saw in the Old Testament now coming together, what we see in the New Testament and manifested in the New Testament. I want to be a carrier. I said, I want to be a carrier. Would you like to be a carrier of the presence and the glory of God? Touch your neighbor and tell him, "I am ready." No, 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 but you don't sound like ready. Tell him, "I am ready." Whoo! Do you want me to finish? Well, I'm going to finish. But you didn't say amen out loud. Sit down. Let me finish with this. Just kidding. Let me finish. So, I am still learning. Because sometimes you can't predict me in the spirit. I come into a service and I got my plan. And suddenly, he disrupts the whole service. And I feel a shift in the atmosphere. That's the reason I travel with my music team. Because they got my DNA. They can hear God. They can bring the right song. The wrong song can shut down the presence. I have been in service where people start singing a song and God is not in it. And the presence lifted. Can I hear an amen, guys? Now, how can I do? Well, now I'm still learning. Because every apostle is a pioneer. There's no point of reference in what you do. And when you are in front, everybody thinks that you're crazy. Touch your neighbor and tell him, amen. When you have that anointing, forerunner anointing, everybody thinks that you're crazy. What are you doing? I never seen that before. Yeah, that's why. So I don't know how to move in the glory. No one has a formula. Do you? No one has a formula. Are you going to formula God? So actions follow God. And this dimension of the glory of God, the Lord said to me, he said, faith, you touch person, is personal. You touch people in a personal basis. With the anointing, you touch multitudes. But he said, with my glory, you will touch continents. Oh, I chose three, amen. The rest of the people, amen. Touch your neighbor and tell him, glory. Listen, listen, listen. So, why? Is it the same that she works her gift of healing and she has to pray for her? She has to pray for him. And a personal is a personal thing because she has faith by measure. And then God comes and God will do it. But she has to know. This is the thing I want you to understand, and I finish with this. You must learn what is your part in the manifestation of that presence. I'm talking about if you're a bishop, if you're a reverend, if you're archbishop, if you call yourself a pope, whatever you want to call yourself, of a regular, normal believer, this is for you. How does it work if it goes, somebody said, oh, God is doing it. I'm going to rest. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to preach everybody because the glory will do it for me. No, wait a minute. God has never, never done anything on the earth without us. That's what the way he did it. He can do it. But he always wants you to participate. So what is my part, your part? Your part is to be a carrier. Your part is to carry the ark. I have been in places, and when I went to a house, I left. Everybody started crying. I went to a stadium. The stadium was, the atmosphere was dead. Like many churches in America are here. And when I got into the place, the atmosphere changed. And not because of me, and I'm not so stupid to think it's me. I'm a carrier of the presence. So he's gonna do it. He said, I want you to go to Africa. What I'm going to do is just standing. But he wants me to go. He will do the rest, but he just wants me to be there. Because he wants you to be part of the ladder, carrier of the presence. And this is for everyone. Somebody said, yeah, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Well, it doesn't matter. I have seen young people, carriers. And how are you a carrier of the presence? And this, my team, can you help me, please? Listen to me. This, again, I learned it through experience and by revelation. And the Lord said to me one day, he said, in order for you to bring that thick, heavy presence. There's something I require from you. And I said, God, what is it? And God said, you must be a worshiper. You didn't hear what I just said. All right. Just one table, the other table. Lift your hands, please. Today, pastors, they don't worship. We came late into the service and we tell the people, go ahead and you prepare the atmosphere for me to preach. Can I tell you something? For you to be a carrier of the presence, Shekinah, glory of God, let me ask you. So many of you, you look at me with turkey face thinking, well, what is he talking about? Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:7, what does it say? Where is this treasure in? Lift your hand. Say, I want you to say it. What is it? Earthen vessel. Who are the vessels? No. The Bible says those special apostles and reverend bishop. Who are the vessels? Lift your hands and say, I am a believer. And as a believer,
I am a vessel,
a carrier of the presence of God. Say it again. Of the presence of God. And the Lord said, so in order for you to go, I have been in a place and I enter. And demons start manifesting. And crazy people think, oh, what's wrong with him? Not me. Is I carry, you know what, one of the definitions of the glory? The atmosphere of heaven. You didn't hear what I just said. Say, touch your neighbor and tell him, the atmosphere of heaven. Say it again. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Just write it down. Jesus ends the Abba Father prayer. And then he said, yours is the kingdom. Your end. And you put the word end for you not to confuse it. Not me either. Yours is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory. Say it. Lift your hands and go like, yours is the kingdom. No, but like you ate well. You know what I'm saying? Yours is the kingdom, Jesus. Come on, 1, 2, go.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory.
Now you're going to say it this way. Yours is the kingdom. And then you say, and the power. And the glory. For you to be the difference. The end makes the difference. Say it again. 1, 2, 3, go.
Yours is the kingdom. And the power. And the glory.
Say it again. Say it again. Okay, look at me. The kingdom. You British, you know what kingdom is. Most of the people in the Western countries, we don't know what a kingdom is. But if you got the kingdom perspective, everything that Jesus taught, he taught it from the kingdom perspective, not from the denominational perspective. Can I? For example, give me an example, Apostle. I give you an example. Acts 1:8. And you shall receive. What's the emphasis that we do in the denomination sides? And you shall receive tongues. Is the emphasis is not tongues. We're going to speak tongues. That's the byproduct. And I speak in tongues, a lot in tongues. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is
power.
That's the kingdom perspective. Because a kingdom is the government of heaven. Say it again. Say it again. The kingdom is the government of heaven. Well, what is the government of heaven? In heaven, there is a headship and there's a government. among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a government, and the Father is the head. There's a government. So he said, I want you to pray the Abba Father prayer. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. In other words, let's bring that government in your life, in your business, in your house, in your church. Let's bring the government. Say with me, government. Now, and then he said, and yours is the power. Question, have you seen any government without power? Never. You can say, I'm the mayor of London, Pastor Paul said. And I'm the mayor. I say, what? Who's backing you up? Yeah, by faith. There's some Christians say, devil, by faith. You didn't hear what I just said. Yeah. Well, the British, they understand what kingdom is. In America, we don't have a king, so we don't understand. So can I hear an amen?
Yes.
So kingdom is the government of heaven. The power is the ability of that government.
Wow.
In other words, I represent my government. I am a witness. I am a believer. I am an ambassador. He has depression. He has sickness. And I'm going to say, hold on a second. In my government, there's no depression. And I will command depression to leave. Why? And I got the power behind me to cast you out. In other words, there are some people preaching on the kingdom and they preach a motivational kingdom. It's a kingdom without power. I can't preach kingdom without casting out demons. Why? Because it's a subjugation of another kingdom. When you subjugate sickness, how come we preach kingdom and we don't pray for the sick?
Right.
But you okay. Say with me, yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the power.
And what's the next word?
And the power.
The glory. The kingdom is the government, the power is the ability, the glory is the atmosphere of God Himself in heaven. So when you are carrier, you carrying an atmosphere. You're carrying an atmosphere. And what's the condition to carry an atmosphere? Be a worshiper. So, worshiper. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, come on, come on. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Shata rabba kata rabba shara. Ashita rabba. Come on, come on. Shata rabba kasha. Lift your hands.
Shall be filled.
Close your eyes and lift your hands, please.
With the glory of God.
Can you lift your hands?
As the water.